I'm not going to be teaching the book of Romans. I've been teaching it every Sunday morning. We will teach it again. But the Lord impressed on me something else to speak on for this morning. So that's what I'm going to do. And so I want us to think about what the Lord is going to do very soon. Something is going to happen very soon. You know, one of the wonderful things that about the Bible is that it gives us clues. It gives us means to understand what is happening. And we are living in the last times. Right now, we are living in the last times. Just look around you. Look around. See what's happening in the United States. See about all of the terrible stuff going on overseas in Israel and different countries. The Lord is trying to speak to humanity. He's trying to speak to us that the time is short. We need to be ready to go to be with the Lord. And he's going to call one of these days, and it's going to be so wonderful. So that's what I'm going to speak on today, is the signs of the soon coming. And God is so faithful. I know you've heard me bring a lot of these messages about the coming of Jesus, but I really believe it with all my heart. And what we need to do as individuals is to read more of the Word of God in our own private place. Take time to read the Word of God. Take time to pray that the Lord will work in our life, your life. Pray that I pray for my life. You pray for your life. I pray for all of you. But, you know, pray that God will do that finished work that he's doing right now in our lives. Oh, I praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. But let's, first of all, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this word. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so blessed to have all of these dear ones here with us today. Father, we're so thankful to see all the people come out to the meeting. We praise you for new people that have come in. We praise you that you are the Lord of all the earth, and you are working your will in our lives. It's your holy will. Praise the Lord. We're believing you now to bless the word of God to our hearts and give us victory and strength, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. We're going to turn to 2 Thessalonians. We read a lot of times from 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go ahead and turn to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to read the first verse of chapter 2. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. He says, this is Apostle Paul writing this second letter to the Thessalonians. And he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Praise the Lord. Notice the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day and time, way back here, this was written AD 54. They were expecting Jesus Christ to come at any time. And that's why Paul was admonishing in letters, many, many of these letters that he wrote as I was looking through, just studying this. So many different times he mentions the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. This is Jesus Christ coming back to this earth to take his people back with him. Praise the Lord. So now, he says, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. In the Greek, it's parousia, I'll say it in a minute. It means that there's going to be a rapture. It's speaking of the rapture or the catching away of believers that are trusting in God, believing God. It's going to be caught away to be with the Lord. It's true. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to come again. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15, it says this, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, the parousia of the Lord, shall not prevent, and that word in the Greek is actually precede. We will not precede them which are asleep. Okay? What's going to happen? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, the dead in Christ that are ready for him are going to raise up from the dead. Their spirits are with the Lord right now, but their bodies will be changed and they'll be caught away in the heavens. And we which are alive and remain and are longing and watching for the coming of the Lord, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. Hallelujah. It's such a blessed thing. Praise the name of Jesus. So it's worth your while to read 1 Thessalonians 4 and read that latter part, especially all of it. Notice it says there that the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. In other words, we who are alive and remain, we won't be first. The ones who have passed will be resurrected, and those that are watching for the coming of Jesus of that group. Praise the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first. In Matthew 25:31, it says, "And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to another." He's going to send his angels. You know, we always know he's going to come back, and he's going to shout, and he's going to play the trumpet and all this stuff. But the angels will just be right there too, helping out, reminding people. And I just can't imagine how wonderful that's going to be. So the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we're going to be gathered together unto him. Hallelujah. The word gathering there means to collect. So the Lord's going to come down, and he's just going to collect up everybody that's ready for the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And verse 2 here in our chapter that we turn to, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, we're going to read verse 2. He says, "By our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in your mind, and be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us," or even if it was Paul that wrote him a letter, and maybe they misunderstood it. They were not to make it, you know, not understand something and not lay hold of something that wasn't true. But he says, "As that the day of Christ is at hand." And that is so true, folks. The day of Christ is at hand. Look at our United States. All of these people just coming in masses over the border. It's so ridiculous that it makes me irk. I just hate that kind of stuff, that we have no control, that there is no control, and all of the other things going on in the United States that are so ungodly, and situations, just everything has turned so strange. Even our little children in grade school, they want to teach them all about sexism and all this stuff that is so ungodly, and many, many people have to transfer their children because there's so much stuff going on. Oh, and people, we know people here that have worked in schools and quit because it got so bad. They were required to teach what the school said they had to have. It's ridiculous. But we are living in the day that Jesus Christ could come back. He's at hand, as close as our hand. He's right here. He's right here with us today. One of these days, though, it's going to be, we're going to see him. He's going to come, and he's going to shine on in the skies, and he's going to say, "Come up here," and we're going to sail away. All of us who are watching and waiting for the coming of Jesus are going to sail away into the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Now, in this same verse, we're going to go down chapter, let's go down to verse 14. This same verse, chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. "Whereunto he called you by our gospel." Now, Paul was a man who preached 14 books of the New Testament. He wrote them and sent them to people. He was a man who was godly. He was preaching the gospel to teach people and to tell them that they needed to walk with God and be ready for the coming of Jesus. He thought it was going to happen right then. Praise the Lord. It was A.D. 54. I'll remind you again. A.D. 54, my Bible says. So Paul was preaching and teaching this, but it didn't happen right then. It went on for a while. So, glory to God. In verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining, there's something to obtain. There is a precious, wonderful position in the heavens that the Lord wants us to obtain. Now, what does that mean? It means not waiting till we get to heaven and then be good and be right, you know, and do everything right so we can have that place. Because that's too late. The time right now is for us to obtain and attain what God wants us to be right now. Yielding our lives to the Lord, walking with the Lord, looking for the coming of Jesus at any moment. Oh, praise the Lord. I know he's going to come. First time I ever heard this message, I was 5 years old. My dad was preaching, and boy, he really spoke it to me. And I knelt down by myself in the back of the church and said, Jesus, save me. Save me. Praise the Lord. It was amazing because I was so little. But boy, I knew, my mother always taught us the words, you know, so we can easily be just thought of as, oh, well, you know, they're not old enough yet to know. But I'm so thankful that the Lord worked in my life. I was filled with the Spirit when I was 8 years old. And the Lord has blessed my life. I thank him so much. I miss my dear husband, who was pastor here and pastor many other places. But the Lord saw fit to take him on home. But praise the Lord. I thank God. It's to the obtaining. He wants us to have it. He wants to give it to us, to obtain it, of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to see him one of these days. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. The obtaining. You know, all of the words that we have in the Bible, when we look them up in what the Greek wants us to understand, there's a lot of different meanings. And so this word obtaining, this is what some of the meanings of it. It means an acquisition. Do you know what an acquisition is? I think you do if you've been in business at all. It's to possess. You take something. You take something you need, something that has to be brought in. It could be in many different ways. Also, it means to purchase. Well, I didn't know that we were supposed to purchase the things of God. Pay money for them? No, that's not in God's word. We're not to pay money for things of God. But we purchase it by our faith. We purchase the things of God by faith, believing. And I've heard people say, I don't have any faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. If you lack faith, then there's something wrong. You're not getting enough of the word of God in your life. You need to hear a minister that teaches the truth and teaches the word of God and study the word and read the word. That's what's going to increase your faith, is to see what God says, what Jesus says. Praise the Lord. It means higher, something that is higher. Pardon me. One, purchase, acquisition, purchase, or possession. Praise the Lord. The things of God become our possession. I'm not a rich woman, but I have Christ. I have possession in Christ. All of the beautiful things that he has for me. I praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. We're going to turn to Philippians, the third chapter. Let's go over there. Philippians, the third chapter. We're going to look at verse 7 in chapter 3 of Philippians. Now, Paul was talking here about all the things that he had gone through in his Christian life, and he had gone through many, many things. In previous verse 6, he'd been persecuted and so many things, but yet he was trusting in God. In verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. See, there is two sides of us. We have a fleshly side. I think everybody here understands that. And our fleshly side wants things. There are many, many things that we would prefer to have. If I ask you, you know, what would you like to have? There'd probably be you could tell me exactly what you want to have. But you see what it says here. what things were gained to me, those things in the natural that might gain, make us gain, that's not the best thing in the world. That's not the thing that we need to seek after. What we need to put number one is to be yielded to God, walking with God, and accepting the Word of God into our life to change us. And so praise the name of the Lord that Paul said this. What things were gained to me, I counted them loss. They mean nothing. The most important thing is I counted loss for Christ. Christ, number one in my life. Christ, the one I love, that I yield to. That's so important. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you feel that way about Jesus and the knowledge of Christ? Do you feel like it's excellency? It's the most excellent thing you could ever know? I hope everybody here today realizes that. That all the natural stuff, everything that we've ever learned in college and all the stuff, we never learned what God wants us to really know, and that is to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. And he's so generous with us, isn't he? He gives us teachers that are able to teach us the Word of God. And he gives us a Bible. We don't have anybody coming and tearing our Bible up and throwing it away. We have it. We can have it. We can have the truth anytime we want it. But sometimes we're just kind of negligent, aren't we? We just don't yield our life completely. But he says, I count all of these things loss. They're nothing. All these natural things are nothing. They don't amount to nothing. They will not do any good things for us, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Dirty. Goodness sakes. I don't know many of us that count our natural things dung, but praise the Lord that we can put Jesus Christ first in our life and yield to him, walk with him, glory to God. Verse 9, and be found in him. That's what he wanted, be found in him. He's already a believer in Christ. He's always already a steadfast prophet and teacher and all of the wonderful things that Apostle Paul was. But he wanted to be found in Christ as a person who was yielded to God, not having my own righteousness. That never works. You can't try to be good. That won't work. You'll find out you have a failure. It's just not capable. We're not capable. We're not strong enough to be strong ourselves. And when we're going through trials, sometimes we forget that. We have to fling ourselves on the Lord and say, here I am, Lord. I can't do this. You ever had to say that? Yes. I have. I can't do this. I cannot. I feel terrible. And God will come in. So he says, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. And Paul was a Jewish person, and he knew what it meant to keep the law. He really knew that because that's what he was before he became converted. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that is how we gain this extreme wonderful place with the Lord, is by letting him control us. Let him be our guide. Let him be put his arms around us when we're in trouble and trial and just feel like we can't go on. God is here. He's always with us. Turn to verse 10. Verse 10. Hallelujah. Paul has a reason why he wants to walk with God, yield his life to God. There's a very good reason. There's a good reason for us too, and that is to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, letting him be our all in all. So what he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's a big choice. It is a very big choice to come to say, I want to know Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this manner. He isn't talking about just being a disciple like the disciples that wandered around with Jesus, you know, on the earth. They knew Jesus in a little bit, but boy, they didn't know him a lot, did they? Sometimes they were doubtful. Sometimes they were, you know, in trouble. But he's saying that there is a place that we can live in this present time, in this position of the power of the resurrection of Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. We know how he suffered for us that we might have all this wonderful eternal salvation and blessings of God. And we need to realize those blessings that he has given us that are through his death for us. And then verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And in the original, it says out resurrection. What is he talking about? Out resurrection. Well, there are people in the world today who want to be with Jesus, but they don't walk with God. And so by our walking with God, attaining unto this, see, the word attaining speaks to us of something that we have to desire and something we reach out for to take. And the Lord wants us as believers to yield our lives to him as instruments of righteousness, to yield to him so that he can have his way in our heart, how that we can feel his arms around us when we're in trouble, so that we're just the Lord's. We belong to the Lord, and we just love him so much that he's number one as far as we're concerned. He's number one in our lives, and that is exactly what we want in the Lord Jesus, don't we? We want to be him alone. And if we gain the Lord Jesus Christ as our bridegroom, as the scripture teaches, my goodness, we're not going to gloat in ourselves, are we? We're not going to say, look at me, look how what I did. Praise the Lord. So Paul says there in verse 11, if by any means I might attain. Any means. Are you ready to take any means? Or you say, well, Lord, if you let me do so-and-so, but please don't let me do that. Please don't allow that to happen, Lord. Let this other thing be it. Let it be joyous all the time. Let me be well. Let me, you know, all the things we can think of. And then I will really love you, Lord. That is just not the way it is, folks. The Lord allows things to come into our lives because he wants us to keep our eyes upon him. He wants us just to keep on looking up there, not looking at us. Oh, look, look what I go through. Look how terrible this is. Oh, my goodness, how the old devil just works, doesn't he? Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians, there are many, many things to study. And if you wanted to, you know, at home, if you haven't read this chapter 3 of Philippians, please read it. It's just a wonderful chapter. So we're going to go to the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the fourth verse. The fourth verse of chapter 1. Apostle Paul again. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. He was speaking to these Corinthian people. They had lots of needs. They had lots of problems. In this first book of Corinthians, if you read on it, you'll find that they had major problems in their assembly, in their church. But he says there that in everything you are enriched. That's what he wanted to happen, that they would become enriched in the Lord Jesus Christ and in all the things that he has, in all utterance. Praise the Lord. In everything that you say, in everything in your mentality. That's what I have written here from looking it up. Okay? So it matters what you think. You can live like the world, you can think of all kinds of junk. But that isn't pleasing to God. So the Lord wants us to have our minds meditating on the Word of God, on the truth, on the fact that Jesus is going to come. We have the signs of the time that he's going to come very near, very soon. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, the testimony of Christ, when the word of God came, they became believers in Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They came behind. This group of people, later in the book, we most of us who have studied this know, they had great gifts. They had all kinds of things, but they weren't fully yielded to God. And so he says that he knows that about them, but they are awaiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so important, that thought right there. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all of us have many things to do. All of us have spiritual things that, I mean, many of us do, that God is using us. But praise the Lord, the main thing is for us to wait. It's hard to wait. You ever notice that, how hard it is? Not just about Jesus. I'm talking about everything. It's hard. Somebody says they're going to do something and they don't do it. Well, we have a, I hope we don't have a tantrum. Sometimes people do when they don't get their way. They have a tantrum. But notice this. We need to wait for the coming of the Lord. We have to wait. And it's difficult, but we wait because it is scriptural. It is what the Word has told us, to wait until the coming of the Lord. Praise God. And notice again in verse 8, who shall also, this is speaking of Christ, he's going to confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is going to confirm us? What does that mean? In the original Greek, it means to habilitate or to establish. What does it mean to habilitate? If I get a house and I put all my stuff in there, you know, then I've habilitated the house. That's what the Lord wants to do in us. He takes us as we are when we're first born again, and then he begins to do his work. He begins to bring in things into our lives. He begins to change us. And as we yield our lives to Christ, we will change. We will change. We're different than we were. Praise the name of Jesus. Until the end of time, when Christ comes back again, that he may confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless. This means without reproach, without stuff that bothers all of us when we walk after our flesh. That is something that God does. He changes us. He makes us blameless. Praise the Lord, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be this when Jesus Christ comes again. That's what it means. When Jesus Christ is going to come again, we have the privilege, we have a privilege to be taken up into heaven when Jesus Christ comes back. And we need to walk with God and yield our life to God. And then praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Blameless. That word blameless means unaccused, irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word Lord, do all of you know what the word Lord means? Is he Lord of your life, or is he just somebody? Is he a person that you really, really love and really obey? The word Lord means the supreme in authority. The supreme person that's in authority. Is he in authority? Does he have the plan and we follow the plan? Is that what he is? Praise the Lord. He is blameless. He is unaccused until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. In Colossians 1:22, we're just going to recite this verse. In the body of, he says, the act of his reconciling us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Unreprovable. What does that mean? That you don't have any blame. There's no fault. You have no fault. You have no blemish. Do I have no blemish? I don't think that's really completely true with any of us, that we have no blemish. But praise the Lord, God is doing that work. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is working on us all the time, drawing us closer and closer and closer to Him, so that we will be unreprovable, unaccusable, not meriting censure, is one of the meanings of that. That others may, you know, talk about us or something behind our back, but that doesn't matter. As long as God sees us and sees us as a child of God that is yielding to God and getting ready for the coming of Jesus, because that's going to happen, folks. I'm telling you, I really feel it. I feel that we're just at the stage right now where He could just show up anytime and we would be sailing away into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God for His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I only have 3 more pages. No, I don't have that many. Praise God. So I'm just so thankful to the Lord for His love for us and giving us everything He has. We'll go ahead and read one more, just in this. But let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. You know, any of us, you don't have to be a minister to study the Word of God. I hope all of you understand that. But you can dig in the Word. You can find words you don't understand. You can look them up. We've got brains. We can look them up. But we also have the power of God, and that's really marvelous. So this verse of Scripture here in Colossians 3 is so familiar to most of us that we've studied the Word. But let's read verse, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ. Now, when did that happen? When we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. In God's sight, we are risen with Christ. But we died with Christ and we rose with Christ. He tells us, if you then be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek the things above. That's going to put you in the right position. That's going to put you in the right place with God. Seeking after His things, listening to His Word, having the Word of God every day. Read it, and talk to Jesus, because He loves you. He wants to talk to you. He says then, set your affection on things above. The word affection means your passion, all of the things that go with you as a person. Set those things on things above, not on the things of the earth. See how important that is? Yes, he gives us ability to work, to do all kinds of things. I've worked in many different kinds of jobs in my life. And God was always there. And He always helped me. But praise the Lord, there's a work that's greater than that. And that is the work of the Lord in our life. Praise the Lord. So He says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is the verse I wanted. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Do you know what that means? When Christ appears, He's going to come back. He's going to come back. And we're going to see Him. Praise the Lord. Christ is our life. He's the one that gives us this ability to be an overcomer, a yielded person. He's going to appear. Then shall you also appear with Him in glory. The Lord's going to say, come up here. And we're going to sail away. That's one of the most wonderful things that I know from the Word of God. I just love it. I only have about 2 more hours. I say these kind of things because it makes people laugh. Glory to God. So God is so good. He's so faithful. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 through 9. He talks about God is faithful. He is trustful. He's sure and he's true. And he never fails. If we desire the things of the Lord, he's going to make sure we're there. It's his prop. It's his job and the Holy Spirit's job. And he's going to make sure and work in us. And I'm telling you, the way is not easy, but it's wonderful when we just let the Lord work our life out. Just let him do it. Let him give us what he wants from our life. And he just comes in and just gives us that peace and that love and that mercy and everything. Oh, hallelujah.